This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Julian, I hope that you have an agent that's as good as James Franklin's agent.
Fantastic news for James Franklin. I mean, what a guy. Him and him and Mel Tucker right now. I mean, those guys.
Well, as I put on Twitter, if I'm Ryan Day and I see what those two guys just did, I call my agent and say, call Ohio State and tell them I want $15 million a year.
Right. I mean, those are astronomical figures. And, I mean, Franklin's done a good job, but, yeah, I'm just not sure. And Mel Tucker's, I mean, you know, they've had some success, and now he's 2-0 against Michigan, so.
Well, and I think the other thing about it is, you know, with respect to Franklin, they had him signed through, you know, 2025 already. And they gave him an extension in 2020, and he's 11-9 since then. Why exactly did this have to happen right now? I don't understand these schools.
Right. Not sure what's going on with that. Obviously, Penn State's year last year with the COVID year was bad. They started out strong, kind of faded here. So kudos to James Franklin.
Well, yeah, of course, more power to him. I mean, I don't begrudge anybody their money. I just don't understand what these schools are doing. The one thing I never understand is why Ryan Day is not ever, you know, mentioned and named among, like, the, you know, elite top coaches around. I mean, the guy's pretty incredible record, and you know, he's just continued to keep Ohio State where it is every single year.
Well, he's not lost a Big Ten game. You know, they lost to Oregon this year, and he's lost to Alabama with one of the best national championship teams we've seen. And then he lost to Clemson on some controversial calls with Trevor Lawrence. That's it. Three losses, has not lost a Big Ten game. So, yeah, you know, he might have made Ohio State better than they were with Urban, which is pretty impressive.
No, absolutely. Well, we've got a lot of games and a lot of different things to get to, we will do the best we can do to try and get to them all here over the next 20 minutes or so, or whatever, however long you can hang out. Let's start with college. I mean, I think I actually was DMing you and whatever about this. I, for the life of me, don't understand this Ohio State line. It feels to me like it should be much, much bigger than it is, but you're defer to the expertise of you. What are your thoughts on that?
It's all reading lines is always tough because Vegas, you know, they have the ability to create these amazing lines that are unbeatable. Then other times they have, you know, line errors. And, you know, there's been a couple in college basketball recently where you see a line, and I mean, yesterday you had Illinois favored by 11 points over Cincinnati, and they lose that game by 20. So, especially particularly with college sports, lines can be off. So when you're looking at that, initially was it fishy that Ohio State wasn't a bigger favorite? I think part of that is nationally looking at what Michigan did to Maryland in the second half. You know, Maryland was in that game a little bit. They had a chance to get inside that spread, and Michigan hit a 70-yard touchdown on third and long, and all of a sudden Michigan wins that game by 40 points. And I think if Michigan had only won that by 15 or so, maybe that spread's a little bit bigger, but the fact that they abused Maryland in the second half, I think maybe had a little bit to do with that, just on recency. But I don't know how anybody could watch Ohio State, and particularly just knowing what this game has looked like recently. Ohio State's dominated this game. They look way more comfortable in this game and more prepared. They always have wrinkles. You know, obviously between Urban Day or Urban Meyer and Ryan Day, has been no losses. So, if I was making the line, I would have made it two touchdowns. I think Ohio State's two touchdowns better than Michigan at Michigan.
All right, so so I'm assuming that's one of your picks is going to be Ohio State minus the 7 or 8 or whatever it is.
Yeah, I like a nice number of 7. If you can buy it. I think they're going to continue to get bet. They might close at 9, 9.5. But, yeah, I like a nice number of 7. The two teams that have covered against Ohio State recently, Nebraska covered, and Ohio State gave up some big plays in that Nebraska game, letting Nebraska stay in that game. And Nebraska's covering against everybody. I mean, at least they're playing everybody close. Garrett Wilson did not play in that game. The other team that covered was Penn State. So, you know, Penn State was able to shut down Ohio State's offense in the red zone, or at least hold them to field goals. So that'll be the only question. If Michigan can hold Ohio State to some field goals, then maybe they have a chance to cover. But I don't think that's going to happen, just because we've seen historically Ryan Day, Urban Meyer, Jim Tressel have a bag of tricks ready for this game, and they pull things out that no one's seen yet. It's not on film. And I think Ohio State's going to continue to have the offensive success that they've had recently. I mean, they've basically scored a touchdown almost every possession for the last 2 weeks.
Right. I mean, they've been really unstoppable. So you like that game. We always have you know, at least take a look at the games that affect our local teams. You've got the two, apparently the two highest paid coaches in the world going at it in East Lansing, and James Franklin against Mel Tucker. I mean, that game actually doesn't really mean anything, I don't think. I'm looking at the standings. But nevertheless, you know, it's for the always important land grant trophy or whatever the hell they call it. Penn State's minus one at Michigan State. What do you think of that game?
Well, first of all, yeah, that pregame handshake, those guys are going to be congratulating each other.
Thanks. Yeah.
So, I don't know how Michigan State's going to recover from what just happened to them. And especially the fact that Penn State's is solid defensively. They've been solid defensively all year long, and I think Penn State beats them. This is a good spot for Penn State. I think that, you know, they have a defense that can stop Kenneth Walker. Obviously, he wasn't able to get out of the backfield much against Ohio State, but can't really run the ball when you're getting scored on at the clip. Ohio State was putting up points, which we were on here talking about several times the last few weeks, how Michigan State's, you know, pass defense last in the nation. They weren't going to be able to beat Ohio State. So I like Penn State here. The favorite in this game is like 7-2, I think, the last 9 times they've played. So it seems like whoever's favored in this game, Vegas has been getting it right in this matchup. So I like Penn State to win this weekend.
Okay. It's interesting. Pitt plays Syracuse on Saturday. Up at Syracuse, Pitt minus 13. Syracuse not very good, but Pitt had their big emotional win and clinched everything they need to clinch last week. There can be a little bit of a hangover, you know, where teams maybe aren't quite as dialed in. What do you look at that number, and what do you like?
Oh, last week we did a nice job with that Pitt game. You know, we felt like the spread was a little bit strange. We didn't know what to expect from Virginia. We talked about the number that they gave on the over and how the over looked enticing just for the fact that Virginia didn't score against Notre Dame and Vegas didn't care. They still made the over under what it was. And, you know, obviously the over came in that game. So with all that said, this is, like you said, it's a little bit of an emotional letdown game, but I'm just not sure. I think Pitt is 2 touchdowns better here. They score with ease. They'll have an opportunity. They're better than Syracuse. And if they can feel like, you know, they're emotionally ready to play this game, to me, I would not invest much in Syracuse in this spot. I think Pitt's better. I think Pitt can beat them. The game might look like the Duke game where they come out slow, but I think over the course of 60 minutes, Pitt puts up more than two touchdowns, a better football than Syracuse.
Okay. So are there any other college games that entice you?
I did want to mention the Ohio State-Michigan game again. The over has hit seven straight times, I want to say, in that matchup. And I think that speaks to Ohio State's offense in those games because, you know, it's when you get the ball back quickly. Ohio State scores quick, and then you have to try to score with them. And that's what's happened in these games. And Ohio State's defense has gotten better throughout the season. But I would probably take a peek at the over just knowing in this game, for whatever reason, there's been some more offensive fireworks from the Buckeyes. And it's the over's hit seven straight times. I wanted to put that stat out there. I think Oklahoma State is better than Oklahoma. You know, Oklahoma, they beat Iowa State. They got crushed by Baylor. I think that Baylor game is pretty close to who Oklahoma is when they play somebody really good on the road. Oklahoma's had their number in the Bedlam matchup, but I don't think so this year. I'm going to take Oklahoma State to win this game and cover.
What is? Do you know what the number is on that game?
Yeah, it's like 4.5 points. I think they're better. I think they can beat Oklahoma by two scores.
So you actually like OSU money line plus? I mean, take them with the points and money line.
They cover, yeah. I think that they're able to shut down Oklahoma a little bit. Oklahoma State can play some defense, and they've been covering, you know, with tons of success in that conference. I don't see why, you know, Vegas makes it very clear who they think is the favorite in the game. You know, so just looking at that number too, I like the Cowboys.
Okay, well that's obviously a good one. Are there any other ones that you like?
That's probably it for college. You know, there's some games Friday to look at. The Iowa game is interesting. They're going to Nebraska. Nebraska's using a backup quarterback. Iowa's opened as a small dog, and now they're a 1 or 2 point favorite. I don't see why Nebraska would win. Nebraska never wins. they get really close. But and I think Iowa's won this game six straight years. So, again, one of those matchups. We mentioned this with Iowa having Minnesota's number earlier a couple weeks back. We'd like them to win and cover against Minnesota. They did. So they've had Nebraska's number. They beat them six straight times. I don't know how impressive that is because Nebraska has, you know, struggled a little bit. But I can't trust Nebraska to win the game. You know, they do. They always seem to. I mean, they had Wisconsin on the ropes, and then their defense fell apart.
Yeah. I think there's an interesting couple interesting things I wanted to ask real quick. And that I was looking at that game, right? But my thoughts were the under in that game. It's 41, which is low for a college game, but I actually see that game being like 16-10 type game.
Totally agree. I mean, I don't see how with a backup quarterback Nebraska is going to be able to put points up, and I think Nebraska is pretty good on defense. And obviously Iowa, you know, they don't put a lot of points, so. Yeah, and a lot of times championship games, because that's close to a championship game for Iowa. You know, if Iowa wins that game, then they're sitting back and watching to see if Minnesota can beat Wisconsin. And Wisconsin, you know, has played well, but I don't think that's a walkover game going up to Minnesota and play the boat rowers. So this is a huge game for Iowa. And to me, a lot of times championship games can be low scoring. And so, yeah, I totally agree with that. I think the under is a good play with Iowa as well to win.
No, it absolutely is. That's the one thing I was looking at with that game. The Mississippi State game, I don't know if they could necessarily put a high enough over-under on that game, right? I mean, that game looks to me like whoever has the ball last is going to be. But it's only 62, which that's Vegas telling us something, isn't it?
Right, yeah, that was a weird over-under to look at. Just looking at that, it kind of looks like somebody's going to win 33-30. I don't know. Like, it just seems like, you know, those teams are pretty even. They both got crushed by Alabama. they've both had some success throughout the year and, you know, also looked inconsistent at times. When I first saw Ole Miss, I thought they were great against Louisville. Remember them when they played back in Labor Day. I thought they were a top-10 team, and now they are a top-10 team. Maybe they could be a little bit overrated, but I think Ole Miss is pretty good. And so this is a tight game, and I don't have an opinion of who's going to win. I think this is going to be, like you said, whoever's got the ball last type game.
Yeah, no, that was the big thing with that one. And then I was looking at the last one I wanted to throw at you. Just, I mean, obviously this isn't a pick of yours, but Cincinnati's only 14 against East Carolina. Here's how I would think, and I'm sure some gamblers think this way. Cincinnati just got into the top four. They need to keep winning and keep style pointing. I mean, it would seem like they're going to just blow the doors off of a team like East Carolina. I was looking at East Carolina's scores. I mean, they've won some games, but they've all been really close. Am I wrong in thinking that?
Looking at Cincinnati, I mean, and that four spot's a beautiful place for them because Michigan and Ohio State play each other. I think Michigan's 5 right now. So they're going to be ahead of a two-loss team, whether it's Ohio State or Michigan. And then behind them is Notre Dame, who they already beat. So, I don't know if I love them to cover necessarily, and I don't know if they require style points in the game because looking at the way that's set up, it's pretty clear that as long as they take care of business and finish this season undefeated, they could be heading for the playoffs.
Yeah, well, that's kind of interesting.
Because who's going to jump them? I mean, it's not going to be Ohio State or Michigan. They have 2 losses, and they already beat Notre Dame. So,
well, that's true. That is absolutely true. I mean, I think if they win out, they're in now. But hey, do you have a few more minutes to hang out? Can we get to a break and come back and get your NFL picks? Or
yes, sir.
All right, we're going to be back with Julian in a few here, and we'll get his NFL picks. We'll do that next. It's 93.7. We are joined with our weekly segment with Menace to the Picks, Julian, one of our handicappers. Does a great job always. You can find his stuff. We'll let him tell you at the end of this where you can find him and how you can get involved in what he does. Julian, the NFL, I got to be honest with you, has really officially been drunk the last few weeks to the point where I have no idea week to week who is good and who isn't. I mean, I think the Cardinals are a pretty good team. Think the Buccaneers might be a pretty good team. It seems like the Patriots maybe are a good team and Kansas City might be getting there, but all four of those teams could go out and get blown out this weekend the way that this season has gone. So what is your best advice to people who are gambling on the NFL?
I've always thought that NFL is the hardest thing to beat consistently. If you have a winning record in NFL on the weekend, you did a great job. There's just, you know, so much talent, so much coaching out there, and you just don't know it with some of these guys and what's going on the night before. Do they go out? You know, like I'm not sure. So we take a cautious approach. You know, you try to make your plays that you feel confident in, stick to it. But I think if you get to a spot where you're like, I'm not sure, usually does not work out when you're like, I'm going to fire it anyway. Because if you have a weird feeling about it, it's tough to, you know, navigate at times. So I just take a cautious approach on Sundays. And, you know, have your game plan, make your plays. If they win, they win. If they lose, then you move on. But I don't think you try to get back in there. You know, you'll take a beating if all you're trying to do is play NFL. You really will. There's lots of other things to play, and we want to play it because it's on TV. But I saw a tweet you had, like, it's almost been unwatchable, unbettable, because there's just so many things that happen that you don't foresee on paper.
Well, and that's the whole point. I mean, last week I had a really good parlay, and it was like a six-teamer, right? All the 1 o'clock games. I went 5-1. I had a money line game that lost. What do you think the money line game that lost for me?
For me, it was the Bills. For ours, it was the Bills. So I don't know if that was you, but
no, it wasn't the Bills. It was the Titans at home.
The Titans
at home losing
crushed
to the Texans. How about that?
they get crushed by the Houston Texans. The Houston Texans at times have looked like the worst team ever to play
exactly.
in the NFL.
Exactly. That's a, of all the ones I had, I thought, okay, that's the one I don't even have to think about. And, you know, then I pull up the scoreboard. You know, I'm watching some games. I pull up the scoreboard and like, what in the world is going on? But anyway, this week we've got some Thanksgiving games. I don't know if you're interested in any of those. Why don't you give us your thoughts on this weekend?
The Toilet Bowl at noon at 12:30. The Detroit Lions and the Chicago Bears. Justin Fields sounds like he might be out again with Andy Dalton playing in that game. I don't want to get too excited about this game. These teams are bad. I don't see how it would go over. It's 41.5. I don't see how it would go over. The Lions can't score at all. DeAndre Swift is playing really well secretly as a running back. He's playing really well. But other than that, and another thing to like about the Lions is they have two really good tackles in Taylor Decker and Panay Sewell from Oregon. They have two really good tackles, and they can run the ball a little bit, but they have no quarterback, and they have no weapons. I don't see how this game goes over that total, and I can't see Detroit winning. They just don't score enough points. I mean, they've hung in, but even when they've hung in against the Steelers and the Browns, they haven't really looked that good. Alex Anzalone is bringing a lot of energy to their defense right now. And their defense is competing, but I'm going to take, if I had to play this game, which this is not the game to be playing, I would take Chicago to cover, and I think the under is going to hit.
Okay, but again, you know, what are some games that you like, that you really like?
Well, I'll go right through. I think that Dallas is going to bounce back. Question with their wide receiver situation right now. Is CeeDee Lamb going to play? Obviously, they play without Amari Cooper. They've been really good. Dallas has been really good this year. They threw out a clunker. Dak Prescott was, you know, bad. But, you know, I'm not sure it matters because Vegas is really bad. We came on here last week and we said one of our strongest plays of the season was the Bengals. And it wasn't as much to do with the Bengals as it was just another fade of the Raiders. Now, that's 3 weeks in a row. The Raiders have got crushed. And I think they're going to get crushed again at Dallas with or without CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper. So I'll take Dallas to bounce back there. And then the Bills, if you go back, they hardly ever lose back-to-back games. The Saints are a gritty team, and I have a lot of respect for the Saints and their culture. They're well-coached. They're defensive-minded. They have some great players over there, but the Bills just have not lost back-to-back hardly at all. So I think the Bills will win that late game. That's Thursday.
So do you like them just to win, or do you like them to cover?
I think they'll cover. I think Dallas, but I think Dallas will cover, and I think the Bills will cover. But I also think that's a nice little link-up money line parlay that'll get you a little bit better than even money. I think both those teams are going to win.
Okay, that's an that's actually an interesting way to go there.
Taking us into Sunday. So let's talk about the Steelers. You know, we thought that the Chargers were going to cover, even though we've talked about Tomlin's success as an underdog. Now the Chargers looked like they were going to cover, and then the Pittsburgh Steelers decided to start playing some offensive football, which was nice to see. They got the punt block. They got back in the game. Now I have never seen a Pittsburgh defense as wide open as I saw on Sunday Night Football. That was insane to see wide receivers and Austin Eckler, and everything was wide open. So the Steelers got to get healthy on defense.
Well, the thing is, they're supposed to get Watt, Micah Fitzpatrick, and Joe Hayden all back. So that's going to probably change that a lot.
So that will change that a lot. And this is too many points for me. I mean, the Bengals are a good football team. They've beaten the Steelers twice in a row. They've actually – you know, handled the Steelers twice in a row. I don't see it happening again. I think the Steelers have a little bit too much pride here to go in there and get embarrassed by the Cincinnati Bengals again. We know about Tomlin's success. I think this is a tough game. We loved the Bengals last week, but this is a really tough game for them. We know Roethlisberger's success in Cincinnati. And it looked like they found a few things out on offense last week. Hopefully they can get back to that. This is going to be a great football game. And somebody's going to win this game by a field goal. I think it's too many points at 4.5.
Okay. Any other games that you kind of like?
Yeah, there's some games I like this weekend. I think the 49ers are playing well. I think we talked about them last week, but the 49ers are secretly playing really good football right now. They're one of the better teams in the NFL the way they're playing right now. I know their record's not that great, but they're playing the Vikings, and the Vikings are getting respect because they beat Green Bay. But the 49ers are going to win again. They're going to win. I think this will be their third win in a row. They're -3. So with the -3, I generally would probably just play the money line because I think the Vikings can play a little bit. But I think the 49ers are going to win. I think the Chargers are going to win again. I mean, how about Justin Herbert? He is just fantastic. Austin Eckler is a guy that's just completely underrated. Now, Pittsburgh's defense made Austin Eckler look like Barry Sanders for some reason. But I do think that they're really good. I think that they can score. They look healthy, so I think they're going to beat Denver. I have no thoughts on the Baltimore game late night against the Browns on Sunday Night Football. I don't have a thought on that game, so I'm not sure what's going on with some of those teams.
With either of those two teams, right? You've got one team whose quarterback and his wife are feuding with the rest of the team. You've got the other team whose quarterback was out with some kind of sickness, and they've got 20 guys on the injured list. I have no idea what to expect in that game.
No, I just know that, I mean, the Browns, when you got Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward, you got two game wreckers, so they can play with just about anybody. But then you got Baker Mayfield that, I mean, he was horrible against Detroit. And then, you know, with the injury thing, and I get annoyed with Roethlisberger with that. Like, you know, we know that you're dinged up. Like, if you're gonna play, you got to play. That's what we're seeing with Baker. You know, do you want to play quarterback? Because Case Keenum did well. We came on here on Thursday Night Football, and we said that Case Keenum was not a step down from Baker. I think Case Keenum might be better than Baker, particularly with what Stefanski wants to do. So. So yeah, I do like, you know, some of those Sunday games. Now, hopefully, the results that we've seen and what we're calculating on paper is going to carry over because, you know, like you mentioned, the NFL has been a little bit funky.
Julian, I appreciate you, buddy. And, of course, we, hopefully we'll be able to do it again next week. But before we let you go, please tell everybody where they can find you and find your picks and all this good stuff that you hand out every week.
At Menace2Picks on Twitter, we're not just a football service. You know, we have our soccer plays, we have our NBA and college basketball plays, and we really try to, you know, we try to survey the entire landscape of sports every morning, the night before, and try to figure out where the edge is because – like we've mentioned, if all you do is play NFL, then you must be a pretty good handicapper. There are edges out there on the board. Not every day, but most days there's some games that are beatable. So we try to identify those and make it happen. Menace2Picks on Twitter and Instagram, patreon.com/Menace2Picks, and we do it for dirt cheap. It's only $15 to $40 a month to see our daily cards, just like when you're going to a racetrack. You know, we have the picks there for you, and then you measure them whether you like them or not, and then, you know, try to make your plays and try to have a winning day.
All right. Thanks, Julian.
Thanks,
we'll do it again. All right, brother.
Yes, sir.
That's Julian from Menace to Picks.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.